I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, the front lines and beyond. The entire point of all the stay-at-home orders was to flatten the curve and make sure our hospitals were not overrun. And that has been successful in North Carolina so far. But as stay-at-home has become safer at home, there's been a spike in cases, the percentage of positive tests, and hospitalizations.
Over the weekend, we saw our highest one-day increase in positive cases and our highest day of hospitalizations yet. This virus remains a serious threat, and we cannot let our guard down.
Hospitals and healthcare workers in other locations have seen a greater surge and are now seeing a greater decline. Last month, we heard about the experience of a frontline healthcare worker from North Carolina named Bevan Strickland. At the time, she was working as a critical care nurse in the emergency department at Mount Sinai Hospital in Queens, New York. She spoke with WUNC reporter Liz Schlemmer during her time there. Liz was able to check back in with Bevan recently and hear how she's been doing, and I'm joined now by Liz to tell us more. Hey, Liz.
Hi, Dave.
So, Liz, you first talked with Bevan last month when she was working in New York City. Tell us more about that conversation. What kind of work was she doing a month ago, and how was she dealing with it personally?
She had signed up for a 6-week contract at a little community hospital in Queens that at the time was really being slammed with COVID-19 patients. The conditions there are really what we fear when we talk about hospitals being overwhelmed. The first time that she and I talked was right after her first full shift. She was still sitting on a subway platform waiting to go home. And she talked about how hard it was that she couldn't give patients the kind of attention and care that she thought they deserved. But she really wanted to be there. She's a doctoral student at UNC Greensboro. She had past hospital experience, so she was trained. But she's also a single mom with teenage sons. In general, she sounded really ready to take it on, but also just a little hesitant about whether she would be able to finish the contract.
So fast forward about a month, and we're about to hear some of your recent conversation with Bevan. Where is she now, and how is she doing?
She is back home in High Point. She finished her contract, and I talked to her just after she had driven home. She said it's really surreal being back because she had this intense experience in New York, and she got used to the city, and now she has a new reality.
And I was standing here in the dining room, and I was just looking around, and I was just going, God, I'm back here now. Like, it's just so dramatic, you know? I was in New York in this whole other life and the way New York was. And New York's a whole other world anyway. But I was there for 6 weeks and then boom, I'm back here again. And I'm like, am I here yet? You know, I was like, I'm here, I'm home. And I'm like, not that it's not my home, but like, I feel like there should be some gradual coming back because it was so dramatic what was going on there.
What was New York City like in the last week you were there? And, you know, when your boyfriend Michael came to pick you up, as well as the emergency department where you were working, you know, before you were talking about having 15 patients to a nurse and needing to keep patients stretcher to stretcher in hallways.
The week before last, it was actually slow in the ED, and they said it's never slow. It was slower than even normal, you know, ED workflow. Nurses had maybe like 2 patients apiece, maybe 1 at some times. Yeah. Like the last day, I didn't even have any COVID patients. So in terms of the COVID numbers, extremely down. It's refreshing. And it's COVID situation is totally different here. People aren't even wearing masks everywhere, you know? I had to tell Michael, it's like, you've got to have your mask on. Everybody wears masks here, everywhere. You know, and he's like, he's not used to that because they're not really doing that here. It's going to be weird for me to walk out the house without a mask on immediately on my face, just to walk out. And I wasn't doing that when I left here. I had it in the car and I'd put it on if I, you know, was going to go into the store and whatnot.
One of the things I learned from you since our last Tested episode is that you have been giving away part of your paycheck because you had initially been looking to volunteer at a hospital and instead the hospital set you up on a well-paid contract.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I didn't feel right profiting off of this. I feel like it's something that people are, you know, it just seems wrong. So I obviously had to pay my bills when I was there, and pay for my expenses and the apartment I was renting and everything. But yeah, I would cash my paychecks. But so then I was like, well, I'm going to start looking for people who are in particular need of help that I can not just give $100 to, but I can give a lump to. Housekeeping staff, things like that, they weren't getting paid more from what I understood. There was a lady whose husband had died of COVID 2 weeks prior. She was on the housekeeping staff. She was $783 behind in her rent. Then I found out about another lady who performed a different job. She kind of handled PPE and stocking and stuff. And because I kind of spread the word with the people who were in charge. I said, hey, if you could tell me about people who are particularly being hit hard, like financially need a chunk of, you know. So I would just take out like $1,000, $2,000, stick it in my bra, ride the subway. You know, I didn't want it to go through any organization and be thinned. So, yeah, I would just go up to him and tell him there was no strings attached. Like, it was just, yeah.
And at the same time, you were caring for so many patients and initially many COVID-19 patients. Is there anything that's really going to stick with you from this experience?
So I have a lot of vivid dreams. It usually don't make any sense. But I had a dream that was so, you know, like, you don't have to be a psychologist to figure it out. It was probably the third week I was there when things were, you know, just had been horrible. You know, a lot of deaths, a lot of elderly people and people alone, patients being alone. There was a wall, a brick wall that was the hospital wall. And then on one side of the wall outside, you know, on the street, there was all these family members. And on the other side of the wall, it was inside the hospital and all the patients were right on that, you know, right there. And I wanted the families to be able to see their loved ones. So I went outside and, okay, so like I'd get a 15-minute break, let's say. And I'd run outside and I would start pulling bricks out and putting glass plates in place of the bricks, you know, and pulling them out and replacing. I was trying to do it really fast, really fast. Because each time I'd make certain progress, my brake would run out. And then when I went back out again, the bricks were there again. You know, it was just like I was constantly trying to make it see through so the families could see their loved ones. That was very easy to, you know, realize what that meant. Because I think the biggest thing that will haunt me about this, and what makes me think of my own health and demise one day, or even just going through an illness, or my loved ones or my parents, is that element, the way people were so alone, laying on the stretchers and not given the care that they should have had because it was too busy, because we didn't have enough beds and we didn't have enough spaces for them. We didn't have enough nurses for them, you know. You know what's weird? I kept trying to go back to sleep so I could finish it. I felt frustrated. You know, I woke up and I was like, oh, that was weird. And then I was like, oh, I don't have to work today. I want to lay back down and maybe I can do it. I can get the wall completely transparent so the families can see their loved ones, you know. I know it's so psychological, isn't it?
Hang tight. We'll have more of Liz's conversation with Bevan Strickland in just a moment. This would be a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve our community and the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history. And we couldn't do that without your help. So thanks, and if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to perhaps increase your pledge.
Do you worry about or expect some psychological toll for yourself and other healthcare workers?
I do believe there's going to be psychological issues for a lot of people who don't manage things like this well, the stress of it. And watching people die is not easy. I don't know when that'll hit me. I don't think that's hit me. People they've passed away, they're laying on a stretcher and they're there for hours and you're walking by them and you're taking care of patients. And there's no stopping. There's no pause. There's no, this person has died, you know. I know that's somewhere still in me, in the back of my, you know, whatever that will come out, and who knows. I did start to think, well, what if this stuff, like even my father, who's not real into like psychology, and I mean, he's gotten more so as he's been gotten older and mellowed and everything, but it's kind of like, get over it, make practical decisions, make, you know, be pragmatic, move on, don't think about the touchy-feely stuff. He actually emailed me and said, there's going to be psychological effects for all of you healthcare workers in this. And I was like, well, God, now I'm really in trouble. But I did think about after that dream, I did think, what if this, that's something that's going to linger with me, and even subconsciously, I won't have control over it, you know? So I did say, well, what can I do about that right now? So each day that I went to work, I just worked harder to connect with the patients, and a lot of taking off of my mask, and just holding their hands and just saying, even though I'm busy, I'm just, I've got to make it happen. You know, I've got to find a way to make it happen.
And that also exposed you, right? But you never got COVID-19 symptoms. What do you know about your exposure?
I got antibody tested and swabbed. I was negative, which I couldn't believe. I mean, they joked about me in the unit saying, you know, it's like I was trying to get COVID, you know, because I was constantly messing with my N95 mask. It just drove me nuts. And then I got swabbed on Friday and it was negative. I just found out. So I think there's some kind of immunity that healthcare workers have. I don't know, because a lot of the healthcare workers there were negative on their antibodies, and they were there during, you know, February and March when they had a lot of sick patients and nobody knew what was going on. They weren't using PPE. It's kind of amazing that anybody got through that without getting it.
Which also shows how little we still know about the virus, how early we are in our understanding. Do you feel like you experienced a part of history?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I've told my sons that, you know, I'm like, this is, and I even told Michael that about him coming to New York. I was like, this is historical. I mean, this is something we will look back on. It will be discussed. It will be like the year of COVID, or the, God, I hope it's not years, but I mean, to come back to this, to my regular life, it's like going on a vacation and coming back. It's like, it's distant memory, but it was huge, you know, and it's not gone. And God forbid it comes back. You know, they were saying in the ED, the talk by the director and everything was all, we've got to prepare for the second wave. I imagine all hospitals are doing this in some way, shape, or form, you know, dealing with COVID and also acknowledging that, hey, we have to be prepared for large numbers of patients, whatever it might be. And we all have to be able to take care of them. And so it's not over. I just came back to North Carolina. It's not over. All I did was leave New York and come back home. So I need to figure out now what I'm going to do here to help, because just doing my part to prevent the spread isn't going to be enough for me, but it will be enough for me to help my community. I don't have to act as a nurse. I haven't adjusted the fact that I'm even here yet. And it feels weird that I just walked away from that situation so easily and so quickly. And there are so many people still in it, and I'm here now. And it's like, I'm just having faith that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and know what to do next.
Back now with Liz Schlemmer. So Liz, what is next for Bevan? Did she say what she plans to do in the more immediate future?
She said that she plans to try to seek out opportunities to volunteer at food banks in the Triad and get her teenage sons to help her. She's going to be completing her clinical experience this summer to finish off her doctoral degree. She's finished off her classes, and she'll be graduating with her doctorate in nurse anesthesiology at UNC Greensboro. And she talked a little bit about what she hopes that looks like when she gets hired again. She said when she becomes a nurse anesthetist, she hopes that she can find more ways to be involved in patient care and to train other nurses in critical care, which is what she saw happening at the hospital during her time there.
She's made such a sort of remarkable effort to help in these times, and that's not unique among healthcare workers. And I'm glad we got a chance to highlight her story. Thanks, Liz.
You're welcome.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. And Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you next time.